All right, everyone. Everyone, welcome into the Ira Kaufman podcast, your favorite Buccaneers podcast. Unless you listen to Bucks Uncensored, maybe it's a tie. But they both live at joebucksfan.com, and we're proud to present them. The Ira Kaufman podcast is brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Proud presenters of everything Ira does is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday columns for joebucksfan.com and these Tuesday and Thursday podcasts and some of the other special things Ira does. And of course, we're here talking all things Bucks, all things Hall of Fame. Ira is the only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter from the Tampa Bay area, which is exciting as we count down toward the John Lynch shot, his fourth shot, possibly his final shot for a while if you've been listening to these podcasts and Ira explain what's coming ahead. But Ira, I'm going to start there. John Lynch, now let me go to this. We wrote a story earlier this week. Peter King put out on Twitter, 1.7 million followers, arguably the most popular NFL writer in the country. He basically said he looks forward to the Hall of Fame vote and changing the ratios in the Hall of Fame, getting more safeties in, highlighted by Brian Dawkins, first-time eligible this year. And is that a direct shot at Lynch, or is that open campaigning, Ira? What do you make of that?
Well, thankfully, Steve, King's 1.7 million Twitter followers don't have a vote. Peter King's got one vote. And I'll tell you this. The fact that John Lynch made the first cut from 15 to 10 for the first time
last
in his three candidacies last year, the same kind of progress that Tony Dungy made the year before he got in, it's significant. It means that he's got a wide base of support in that room. He just couldn't close that deal from 10 to 5 last year, but that's okay. This year there's a new crop of candidates. I don't believe it's an overwhelming crop because I've been on this committee for 11 or 12 years. Led by LaDainian Tomlinson, who I expect to get in. But I believe Mr. King is misguided here. I believe he's dazzled by Dawkins' statistics, which are impressive, no question. And I'm not arguing that Brian Dawkins doesn't deserve a bust in Canton. But you know what? Not this year. Not this year. This is John Lynch's year. And I'm getting able assistance from Scott Smith over at One Buck Place. He's helping me form the nucleus of my presentation. Steve, this will be my fourth shot with John Lynch. I'm feeling confident. It's his time. That's all I can say. It's John Lynch's time. If it's not, we got a problem going forward because next year is stacked, and here comes Ed Reed and Palomalu. And, you know, Ed Reed's certainly going to go past Dawkins and Lynch if they're still standing there. I'm feeling good, Steve, because the Buck defense stands alone in terms of being an iconic defense. And instead of the Tampa 2, I'm calling it the Tampa 3 because everybody, including Sapp, Brooks, Dungy, and the people that face that defense like Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning, all say that those are the three guys you have to make that defense work. And I'm not sure Lynch wouldn't be ahead of Sapp and Brooks for some of these guys in terms of his responsibility. Dawkins doesn't have that. That was not an iconic Eagles defense. It was a good defense.
Absolutely was not iconic defense.
But, Steve, I'm going to have plenty of ammo when I walk in that room in Houston. I'm going to be up day and night for the next 3 weeks working for number 47, and I'm going to bring this home, and the Glazers are going to owe me a wing at One Buck Place. I might have my own key. I might be able to get up to the executive suite.
I thought you meant a chicken wing for a moment.
Never mind that. But, Lee, I'm going in there confident. I'm not scared of Brian Dawkins, and I'm certainly not scared of your beer-guzzling Peter King.
Well, Peter King, as I spoke with you before we walked up to the Palacio Hooters in Newport Richey, Waterside.
Port Richey. It's actually Port Richey.
Oh, Port Richey.
Excuse me. That's right. That's right.
At any rate, in greater Pasco County, where does Peter King live? He lives in Tony, Manhattan.
Stone's throw from Philly. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
where everybody thinks that football is the NFC East and everything else is Division II. So considered a source. That's almost outrageous that he would cite Dawkins. I mean, the Philly defense, it was not iconic, as you said. I mean, the NFL Network even had top 10 defenses, and the Bucs defense was in the top 10 defense.
And Lynch made top 10 hitters, fiercest hitters in NFL history.
Dawkins can be nothing, not to take away from Dawkins, but to equate Dawkins with John Lynch, that just shows you where his head is. You know, he's sitting there, you know, drinking cognac with the Meryl Streeps of the world, and the rest of the deplorables of America don't know what they're talking about.
I don't think Dawkins has the juice, Steve. I don't think he has the juice to sail right in and fly right past the guy who's been waiting 3 years.
I like what you said about the juice, but I just want, and we're going to touch on that because that I think is an important element here. Let me backtrack two things. That was previously the voice of Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com, who, of course, is a fixture here on the podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz, and we're actually live at Port Richey Hooters, right on the water, one of the few Hooters that's right on the waterfront. Mr. Kaufman is soaking in the sun as we
speak. Bright blue sun.
Working on his tan. You might hear some birds in the background. This is just, we live a really rough life here at Joe Bucks Fan.
Our wings are on the horizon.
Yeah, those are the chickens clucking in the background. All right, no, seriously, Ira. You mentioned Scott Smith of Buccaneers.com and that he's helping you develop the nucleus of your pitch. For those listening, now you've already presented John Lynch three times to the panel. Well, what does that mean? What is Scott Smith doing here? Is this he's compiling data? What is he doing?
Only because I like you so much, Steve, and our listeners. Am I going to give you guys a peek inside the room? This presentation, Lee, is still in development, yet I think I know a couple of things that are going to stand out in it, and I'm going to give you my opening line, pending on some new information coming forward. This is the opening line to 47 other selectors in that room. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Hall of Fame selection committee went purely on statistics, Paul Krause wouldn't have had to wait 20 years to get a Boston can.
Paul Krause blast.
That is my opening line. And for those that don't know,
please.
Paul Krause is the career interception leader, 71. It's an astronomical total with the Vikings. And that record's not going to be broken. He's number one, and it's not going to be broken. He waited 20 years to get a bust. So there's your Brian Dawkins statistics. Put that in your Philly cheesesteak and smoke it. John Lynch has impact. Brian Dawkins has statistics. And that Buck defense, and I'm going to go into detail, and everybody, you guys know this because you lived in Tampa those years. This is not the 2000 Ravens. Lee, you can stop laughing now. This is not the 85 Bears. This is a dominating defense for a 7 or 8 year stretch, which, by the way, gentlemen, that's an eternity by NFL standards. 7 or 8 years. And who stood out during those 7 or 8 years as the linchpins? Sapp, Brooks, Lynch, each taken a unit in that defense and clearly being the leader. And everybody knows what John Lynch did during Super Bowl week. He was the guy that was calling out all the signals. He was the guy that took charge of setting that defense up against the Raiders when, thanks to Gruden, the Bucs kind of knew what was coming. Lynch stood at the forefront. That wasn't Brooks. That wasn't Sapp. That was John Lynch. He had more responsibility, Lee, in that defense than Brooks or Sapp.
Well, your evidence is he was wired during the Super Bowl, and there was your evidence. Anybody watches those highlights, you can see Lynch was directing the defense right there. So there's your evidence. Paul Krause.
Now, when you say stuff that in your Philly cheesesteak and smoke it, was that you paraphrasing for us here on the podcast, or is that something you would actually say in the Hall of Fame room?
I don't think I'll go that far, even though I had Keyshawn Johnson calling Sapp an asshole in the room. And I quickly said, I believe that's the first time that word has been used in this room. And the people that weren't laughing or shocked with their mouth open all nodded in agreement. Yes, that is the first time a-hole has been used in this room. But it was appropriate because, first of all, I didn't have to call Sapp an a-hole. I got Keyshawn to do it. And it immediately turned everybody's attention. The quote was, he's an a-hole, but he belongs. That was the quote.
So
I got everybody to talk about Sapp as a football player. Now, Lynch doesn't have those kind of blemishes, guys.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like
not
Brooks. But the third part of this iconic defense And for those people who say, now, wait a minute, you got Rondae Barber coming in 2018. What are we going to do, put a fourth member of the Bucks? I say, yes, you are. But Rondae stands alone. Rondae is a unique player. He has a different argument, a different presentation. Lynch, an integral part of an iconic defense.
Now, Ira, as you prepare for this esteemed meeting and the vote and the whole presentation the day before the Super Bowl, I got to ask you this. When you are in that room and whoever is presenting Brian Dawkins, you know who's going to be doing that?
Yes, it'll be Paul Domowicz, Philadelphia Daily News. Good man.
Now, do you expect him to come in there and say, ladies and gentlemen, we all know Brian Dawkins is a Hall of Fame player. Therefore, don't play the politics of John Lynch has been waiting his turn. You know, you owe it to Brian Dawkins to vote on him right now compared to Lynch.
On the merits.
Man to man, heavy hitter to heavy hitter on the merits, and put the BS politics we're all accused of aside. Do you expect something like that?
Steve, that's why you're such an integral part of Joe Buck's fan, because you get right to the heart of things. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Interesting.
Mr. Isbitz. And if I was Domowicz, that's what I would say, Lee, that the queue, although there's nothing in the bylaws that say that how long a guy's waiting should be a factor, Domowicz is going to go in and say the queue doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that John Lynch is fourth time around and this is Dawkins' first time around. You judge him on the merits. Mm-hmm. Of course I expect Domowicz to say that. And I also expect him, and I hope he doesn't, because I don't really think you should, but I think he's going to bring up John Lynch by name and try to make this a Lynch versus Dawkins. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go my whole presentation, and I'm not going to mention Brian Dawkins by name. That's the way it's done. That's classy, Mr. Isbitz. You two guys wouldn't know anything about that.
No, we wouldn't know anything about that.
That's the class thing to do. I didn't mention Michael Strahan's name when I did my Sapp presentation, even though everybody in that room knew, you know, Strahan and Sapp, those are the two big elephants in the room, so to speak. And look what happened. Sapp got in, and Strahan had to wait that next year. So I'm not going to make this a Dawkins, but my points are going to be strong. And when I say it's not statistic-based, everybody's going to know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to go into the details, and I think that's unsavory. That's the unsavory part of and it's backfired on some guys. You don't throw dirt on Hall of Fame candidates. You don't.
Interesting.
You talk up your guy.
So it has backfired, huh?
It has backfired.
Wow. Well, I'm guessing you're going to do this. I'm just going to guess because you do.
I might have to take Isbitz in the room with me. Lee, because he's got good ideas.
Oh, he doesn't have credentials. I do. But at any rate, I'm guessing you're going to do this because you are want to do this, and it's apropos and it's smart. But since Father Dungy's so popular in that room, I guess you're going to invoke his name and quote him on how important Lynch was.
Well, Lee, it's funny you bring that up because, guys, I'm going to give you my general philosophy, and, you know, it's worked for me. It has worked for me. And I look at it, you know, if somebody – what do I want if I'm sitting in that room and somebody's talking up one of their candidates? Lee mentions the Dungy. Well, I'm going to bring Dungy up because I'm just going to say Dungy says that Lynch had more – responsibility in that defense, and who would know better than Dungy in that regard? But I'm not gonna quote Tony Dungy extensively. I'm not gonna quote Sapp. I'm not gonna quote Brooks. I'm not gonna quote Rondae Barber. I'm gonna tell you why. What else are they gonna say?
Yeah, I'd tune them out as well.
I want to know about the guys that played against John Lynch. I'm trying to get Tony Gonzalez. I think I'm gonna get him. He played against Lynch a lot when Lynch moved on to Denver, and Gonzalez was in KC. I got to fill in the blanks on the Denver years. There were four of them. Lynch made Pro Bowl all 4 years.
Mm.
And, you know, of course, the three of us are not as familiar with Lynch's years in Denver as we are. So, you know, look, Bill Belichick really helped me with the Sapp presentation. That's how I ended the presentation, with a quote from Belichick. I want guys with clout that don't have a vested interest, Steve. No vested interest.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't. Everybody knows what Dungy's going to say, right, about our guy Lynch.
Yeah, it's like me being asked about Lee when he's looking to be in the Blogger Hall of Fame. I'm not a good source for that.
I hear he's on the doorstep, Steve. Right on the doorstep.
The Hall of Fame isn't open yet, but when it is, we'll might be first ballot entries. Ira, no, we appreciate the insight inside the room. We're going to keep doing that all through
January.
All through January on this podcast.
By the way, there's a column written by the esteemed Doug Fernandez, columnist of the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Our listeners can find it. Joe Bucks fan has a little mention in the column. But it's all about, I spent 20 minutes with Doug on the phone. And he asked me about the Lynch candidacy. He wanted to write a column about it. And I think our listeners and readers would enjoy checking in the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Doug Fernandez.
Yeah, we'll, of course, Ira, I'm sure you will put that out on Twitter at your Twitter account.
Absolutely.
At iKaufman76. And we'll type it up on JoeBucksFan.com with a link. And we have loads of listeners and readers south of the Bay. Absolutely.
I'm going to keep our listeners privy, Steve, as the process goes along. People I've talked to, new people, new nuggets we've dug up. Again, Scott Smith's been a big help. He will continue to be a big help. Lee, this is not something that you do the night before and you walk in ready to go. The Brian Dawkins people will be ready, and I have to be ready. And I know that this year has particular importance to John Lynch's candidacy, Steve, vis-a-vis what's coming down the line. This is the year for John Lynch, 2017.
Do you think, I know someone who does have clout in that room, you think Tom Crean, who works for Newsday, is going to be back behind Dawkins?
you mean your boy Bob Glauber?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Glauber, he's the guy that had to make the Michael Strahan presentation. That day, I went number 14 out of 15 guys. We don't get to pick the order. The Hall of Fame picks the order.
Do you learn the order? That was one of the things I was going to ask later, but I'll ask it now. Do you pick the or is the order assigned to you when you show up, or you know in advance?
You know in advance, and as All soon right. as I know, our podcast listeners
Interesting.
Will know.
Interesting.
You never know what's better. Is it better to go at the end? Is it better to go in the middle? It's open for debate.
I think you want to go after the Dawkins guy. You know, it's like the closing argument.
I will
go
after the Dawkins guy because they break it down by position. And so when they say defensive back, it'll be then alphabetical. I will go after the Dawkins.
So you already know.
I already know.
So you're batting cleanup here, Ira. You got to bring it home. You got to drive in the runner.
And the pitcher might be a little arm weary at that point. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Now, of course, Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. This is where I start my car shopping search. And this is where everybody really should as well. Fantastic dealerships, the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, and plenty of vehicles to choose from, pre-owned, all the way up to the fantastic new line of 2017 Cadillacs. Right now, Ira, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's where everybody can find their deals and opportunities and start their search. Paycation, Ira. That's what's going on at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Paycation. Put zero down and drive. Payment free for 3 months. You can get all the dealer details, but they've got 2017 Cadillac ATS sedans, $339 month to lease. It's just fantastic opportunities. That's where you want to start and finish your search. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. And EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
That's a better deal I got on a Dodge Dart, Steven. 3 months, no pay. What's going on over there?
All the details. Paycation, unbelievable opportunities. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Now, of course, this is a sort of a unique day. Like we said, Ira, we're sitting here at the Port Richey Hooters. Just fantastic. Thank you for Hooters hosting the podcast.
Absolutely.
We didn't invite all your fans here. We didn't want a mayhem and madness on a Monday when we're recording this. But happy to be here. We appreciate our partners on JoeBucksFan.com since 2011. Original Hooters, visit their website at originalhooters.com for your nearest location.
Now, wait a minute, Steve. They got world-famous wings, and, you know, we've been to Abe's place, Steve, and they also got strong wings.
You spurring competition here, Ira? Come
little,
on.
You know, it's me against the commish. We got a little competition going on all angles over
there's
here.
There's plenty of stomachs across the Bay Area to eat all the fantastic wings in town. All right, Ira, now we're going to move away from the war on John Lynch, and we're going to go to a hot topic among Bucks fans. Really curious to see how strongly we all feel about this. But when it comes to free agency, which is we're only 2 months away now, you're looking at a guy a lot of Bucks fans have fallen in love with, Will Golston. So here you have a conundrum, Ira. You've got a 25-year-old defensive end who's been a little injury-prone through his career. He's A-plus against the run, and I'm just being straight. He's a D against the pass. and he only plays 50% of the time. How much do you actually lay out? How much do you actually pay a guy like that who will be attractive in free agency? Where do you draw the line as far as money?
Steve, if somebody comes in with a big offer for Will Golston, you got to let him go. Lee, that's just the way it is. Having said that, the Bucks were very mediocre on rush defense this year, and that's Golston's forte. Mm-hmm. All things being equal, Lee, I bring him back. He's a pretty good guy in the locker room. But I'm not spending it extravagantly for a guy who's a negligible factor on a pass rush.
You know, you that's a heck of a point you made. The Bucks were not that great on rush defense, but he was one of the few that was. Is he a good guy in the locker room? He blends in.
He blends in.
He's not a bad guy, but he,
you know, he's not a leader. I wouldn't call him a leader.
I'm trying to think of the word. Shadow, maybe, is a word. He's very much a background kind of guy. He hides in his locker.
But that's okay. I wouldn't call him a distraction.
No. He's not a distraction. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not trying to imply he's a bad guy.
I think what Lee's saying is there's really no leadership component to Will Golston on the football.
I mean, if Will
team.
Golston wasn't there, would you even notice it outside? I mean, in a locker room?
Well, the question
room?
No, is, will we notice it on the field?
You would notice it on the field, but certainly not in the locker room. I mean, he's about as irrelevant is not the right word, but he's about as there's a word I'm thinking of, starts with the N. Nondescript. He's about as nondescript as there is in the locker room.
Steve, what's the market, Steve, for a run-stuffing defensive end?
Well, this is what I'm asking you. It's bizarre because you don't see this very often. Again, the guy is a grade A against the run, and he's grade D against the pass rush, which in a passing league is a conundrum for a team trying to decide where to spend its mountain of salary cap cash. To me, I got to draw a line on Will Golston. Maybe you put that line at $5 million a year. To go pay this guy $7, $8 million, I just don't see it. And somebody might give it to him. The Bears and Rod Marinelli traded for Gaines Adams, a second-round pick, and the guy was
Lovey.
Guy was clearly terrible.
Lovey.
And we see every year Olivier Vernon and other guys. Did I get the last name right? My mind's but yeah, Vernon. Yeah. Vernon. I'm losing my mind, Ira. You see guys get overpaid for in defensive ends every single year. Mario Williams got a boatload of cash, did nothing this year. So it'll be interesting. Very interesting call. The fans are going to not like it if he's out. But Lee, what do you think? How much do you pay the guy?
Fair to say that Golston's kind of the same player he was when he walked into One Buck in terms of developing. He really hasn't changed a lot, Lee. And I have no reason to think he will in the next 3 years.
He's never changed into a pass rusher they had hoped he would be. But he's decent on the I'll emphasize your point again. I think it has merit. The Bucks are not good on pass or rush defense, and he's one of the few that is. So you probably want to keep him. You know, if the Bucks didn't have any salary cap room this offseason, then we can nickel and dime the guy. The Bucks have money coming out of their ears as far as salary cap. Depending who you talk to, depending what site you go to that allegedly has this inside information, Bucks may have the most money to spend in the offseason. May. I emphasize may. We don't know that. So I'd keep the guy because it's not gonna hurt you in the salary cap.
Steve,
and it's only gonna help.
Maybe they need an upgrade at D tackle next to McCoy. The running up the middle against the Bucks was quite successful.
Yeah,
this
I agree,
year.
With Steve.
That's a subject for another day. The D tackle, but to stick on the Golston a little bit, Ira, two things. One, your colleague, your former colleague, Roy Cummings. You guys spent many years attached at the hip over at the Tampa Tribune. He was on Fort Myers Radio saying that Golston is a priority for the Bucks this offseason, and there's a lot of people who feel that way. I don't. But I will disagree with you. I think Golston has developed quite a bit in his run stuffing, and just he's a bigger, better player than he was as a fourth round
pick. He's pretty good at tackles for losses. He's pretty good at that.
He's a good football player, and you could make the case that the Bucks are in no business to let good football players walk out the building. But he has had a lot of injuries that have added up in his time. He's a warrior. He gets on the field, but man,
he has some value, Steve.
He has value. I just don't think he's a guy that you necessarily pay. He's the perfect test the market free agent. Will, go see what you can get and come back to us.
I think that's a smart strategy, Lee. And if he leaves, it's not catastrophic. But you know what? Golston might be in for a little surprise, Lee, on the free agent market. Might be tepid. And if it's tepid,
the Bucks
matched the number, why wouldn't he want to come back to an emerging team?
That's true. You don't know what he wants. More importantly, you don't know what his agent wants. I think tepid might be the first time we've heard that word in our series of
podcasts. Every podcast I give you a new word.
I like that. I like the vocabulary.
That one, unlike most, you can spell. Even Isbits can spell that one. Tepid.
Given that we're here at Hooters, I'm waiting for you to say voluptuous. But
I just don't think he's going to be overwhelmed on the market, Lee. I just don't.
Well, Steve has a good point. It takes one team absolutely desperate. Absolutely, completely desperate, and there is always a team that's desperate. How desperate? Yeah, they're willing to throw money in his face.
Usually, the pass rushers, though, Steve. Usually, it's the pass rushers that get the money.
Exactly. So that's the whole point of why we're even having this discussion with Golson. Because if he had 7 sacks this year, we'd all be saying, "Hey, pay the man. You know, give him Robert Ayers money and make him that second tier level defensive end in the market of what he's paid."
Do you think the Bucs have enough depth at the end at this point, Steve, if he leaves? Are you counting on Jacquees Smith?
No, you can't count on Jack Smith. Golston doesn't rush the passer. We have to call it straight. Noah Spence, he might be having off-season shoulder surgery. He played hurt all this year, and when the season was on the line, the guy played less than half the snaps. They were running this guy, Devontae Freeman?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
Freeman.
Could be a health issue at that point with
Spence. I forgot his name.
But I'm saying that could have been a health decision. Exactly
my point. So we don't know everything we have in Noah Spence, who's committed to putting on, he had told me, at least 10 pounds of muscle this offseason. I think they need to get
And Ayers isn't getting any younger. Steve.
Right, exactly. You know. He got Ayers coming back at 32 years old when the season kicks off in September. So interesting decisions there for the Bucs to be monitored. Now let's switch to Jameis. As dubbed America's quarterback by Lee DeCamper, we'll give him all credit for that. Ira, Jameis was on Monday morning. He was on Mike and Mike on television. And they asked him, what's next for you this offseason? And basically, in so many words, I ran with this yesterday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. But Jameis said he'll take 2 more weeks to get his legs back under him and relax his body, and then full go all out to prepare to win a Super Bowl. I took that as a message to his teammates. You know, Jameis knows what he's doing. He's on national television saying, in 2 weeks, I'm all in for next year physically. What do you make of that? You think Jameis pushes himself too hard? You think that's a message? What's your take there?
I don't think he can change, Lee. It's in his DNA. Mm-hmm. All he thinks about is football. Football, football, football. By the way, Steve, you mentioned his next career is going to be as a commentator, and he's going to excel at it. Let's hope that's not till 15 years down the road.
2030.
Kaufman, you and I won't be around for that.
You're right. I don't think I'll be making Hall of Fame pitches in 2030 for Will Golston, young Will Golston. But let me say this, and let's be honest. We try to be honest on this show.
We are honest.
We are
on the
when
show.
We try.
Winston has so many things going for him. I have total faith in the guy because of his passion. But facts are facts, guys. His mechanics are not what they need to be. They're not, Lee. And I don't know who he needs to work with, but that ball is still sailing high. Steve, he doesn't feather a pass particularly well. Every pass seems to have the same velocity. Lee, there are certain things that he needs to work on mechanically to get to the next level.
You're setting me up here, Iron.
I try to do, Lee.
I don't disagree. Now, I have seen him feather passes to Charles Sims, which is they're Joe Montana-esque. I mean, just beautiful balloon, which is what Bill Walsh said. Like, you throw a balloon to a guy. That's what you want. It's just beautiful.
But not on a long ball. Steve.
No, not on a long ball. He line drives those. But you know what? The Bucks. If you talk to the Bucks, and you talk to the Bucks, I talk to the Bucks, Steve talks to them, they rave about Mike Bajakian. If you didn't know any better, this guy's the next Mike Holmgren. Well, number one, if this guy is so great, and this is my contention, if this guy is so great, why is the best quarterback he ever developed is Dan LeFever, the immortal Dan LeFever from Central Michigan, i.e. from, I want to say, Bennett Academy in Lyle, Illinois.
Do you think Winston made significant strides in 2016 or minimal strides?
I wouldn't say, as far as mechanics?
No, just in general. I wouldn't call it significant.
Smoothed out, I would say.
Smoothed out.
But physically,
it goes to what you're talking about.
Physically, did. But, And I'll bring it. Steve heard this. Steve, on the Fox broadcast of the final game, Mr. Ohio State linebacker Spielman, did he not say that he was talking to Dirk Cutter and Cutter said he, that Jameis overstrides a little bit?
Spielman, Ira, mate, went out of his way.
Chris Spielman, right?
Yes. The former linebacker, All-Pro. You know, most people from our era remember him well. He said that in the production meeting with Dirk Cutter, and he went out of his way on the broadcast to say, quote, Cutter told me, these are Cutter's words, Jameis is overstriding too often, and Cutter said he wishes that he had more time to work with Jameis, but the labor rules are crazy, where they can't
They're
wear.
They're very restrictive.
And what Cutter's bone of contention was, these quarterbacks are going to quarterback gurus in February, March, April, when they used to be sitting with coaches after a two-week break, and it frustrated Cutter. But
if after 2 years of working with Bajakie, if he still has these mechanic issues, then I'm sorry, I don't buy what the Bucks are selling about Mike Bajakie.
Very interesting.
My goodness, will I catch hell for saying that? And I will, but you know, they listen to the Bucks. Like I said, this guy's Mike Holmgren in a second, but you know, I'm sorry, look at his resume. What the heck has he done to deserve all these accolades? Now he's working with America's quarterback, and after 2 years he's still doing this? I'm sorry, that's on Bajakian.
Steve, we do have to remember that Winston could have been coming out of college right now. I mean, that's just the way it is. He only had 2 years. He's raw. Lee, he's raw. He entered the league raw. But he's put in two pretty impressive seasons. But, Steve, you know, I look at him and I think how good he can be, not how good he is. And that's the way Cutter looks at him. And, Steve, if Cutter can't spend enough time with Jameis Winston, darn it, go find somebody that Cutter trusts who can.
Yeah, can't they hire someone?
You know.
But quote-unquote hire someone in the offseason to work with Jameis?
Steve, if the kid wants to take it to the next level, which he does, he wants to be the best in the league. And as long as Mr. Brady and Mr. Breeze are around, he's not going to be. But those guys aren't going to last forever. He's in the next wave with the Mariotas of the world.
Sure.
And, Steve, if he wants to take that next step, there's certain things he's going to have to correct. He can't do it by himself, Steve. It's not a question of want to. It's a question of proper instruction. And, Steve, if his biggest off-season priority last year was getting himself in shape physically, which he did a good job of in terms of taking the weight off, this year it's got to be about mechanics.
A few things. A lot of great stuff you guys are going here. For those who don't know, Mike Bajakian is the Buccaneers quarterbacks coach. I know a lot of people don't dive as deep into who's who, but he's the guy responsible for, with Jameis,
the
nonstop.
Day-to-day.
Because Dirk Cutter's no longer that guy mentoring the young quarterback. He's busy with all his other duties, and Cutter has even said he doesn't have enough time to spend. You know, that's why he's thinking about not calling plays, which we've touched on before. But Bajakian and Jameis, it's interesting. I will leave open the fact that I mentioned this to Lee, you know, last week. Maybe Jameis just, he's not Superman. There are some things that guys just don't do well their whole career, and maybe he is being coached well. Maybe he's had even multiple, his ex-quarterback coaches and stuff. This is not something that he gets well.
I'm not willing to say that at the age of 23, Steve.
I'm not willing to say that either, and it could be, and he needs a change in coach just to at least give a shot to give a different perspective. But, you know, I don't think of the guy yet as Superman. I think he did get better this year, throwing out of the pocket and playing out of the pocket.
Exceptional.
The guy was exceptional. The numbers show it, and look who he's got breaking open for when a play breaks down. He doesn't actually have speedsters creating space and coming back to the ball with speed or experienced guys outside of Mike Evans who've played a ton of football when pockets break down. And I thought he did an amazing job there. Leadership, obviously, he scores all the points in the world. And I'm not worried about the guy.
None of the three of us are worried about him.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. Especially during Bucks games, while the games are being played, Twitter just on fire about everything. And it seems Bucks fans, just nitpick the heck out of Winston. And my favorite is, and it's not without merit, but fans go wild about his overthrows. And finally, I got fed up with dealing with all the comments on Twitter. Jameis overthrows. Like, Okay, the guy's thrown for 8,000 yards the past 2 years. Best quarterback in Bucs franchise history. I guess the Bucs could always cut him and re-sign Josh Freeman. He's available. I don't remember Josh Freeman overthrowing too many people. Is that what you want? You know, maybe,
Lee, the kid,
take all the good with the little, the bit of the bad.
Lee, the kid was 22 years old. 22 years old last season. You know, 2 years of college experience. We got to remember all that, and he just led the Bucs to a 9-7 record. Not too bad.
And I'll say this, which a lot of fans, and it drives me nuts. Any Hall of Fame analogy drives me nuts because it's just never fair. It's never fair to insert ex-coach and compare him to Bill Belichick. It's just not fair. There are a lot of fans who will say, and we hear this on Twitter all the time, well, Tom Brady doesn't have weapons, and he makes quarter receivers better. The guy is a living legend.
Yeah, one of the top three quarterbacks
in the NFL
history.
Maybe the best of the modern era.
So don't compare. Don't say Jameis doesn't need weapons because, well, if he was really good, he would develop them because he's such a good quarterback.
That's a once-in-a-generation talent.
Look at Ben Roethlisberger. Look what he's got around him to work with. Now, look at the guy
you always had.
Yeah, exactly. You look at the guy you voted for MVP, Ira, Matt Ryan. Okay, the guy's got one of the best receivers of this generation in Julio Jones.
Then they went out in free agency and picked up some more
guys.
They
got a true,
and look what happened.
A true young number two receiver in Sanu.
Gabriel. They got the Gabriel kid.
Had a good tight end. Hall of Fame. Pro Bowl fullback in DeMarco. Which Dirk Cutter developed.
Pretty good running back.
Devontae Freeman.
And Devontae Freeman, an electric running back. The guy's got a full complement in the offense. The Bucs have no fullback. No running game this year. No number two receiver, and you know, come on.
You brought up a name. I got.
Having said that, Ryan's my MVP.
It's a phenomenal year.
I got to interject. He brings up a name, and it sticks in my craw. And Ira, I'm going to throw this at you, Mr. Hall of Fame voter. And you know, I probably I love Jason Light. I think the world of him.
Here we go.
But how? And this is not just Jason Light. This is NFL scouts in general. How in the world did Charles Sims grade out higher than Devonta Freeman? I mean,
are you still on the Sims rampage?
I'm not anti-Sims. Let's think about this. Now, Ira, you live in Florida. You know, I'm not. I know you're not a college football guy, but every once in a while you'll watch some football. And obviously, Freeman was Jameis's running back when they won the national championship. I'm sure you watched a couple games. You probably saw Freeman play, and you're thinking, like, oh, this guy's a decent running back. How in the world did this guy grade out lower than Charles Sims?
Well, you know how these scouts try to project, and that's why it's a crapshoot, Lee. You
it
know
is a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot.
I mean, just eyeball, just a couple of amateurs like us, as in amateurs of NFL evaluators. You know, you were watching this game. You're watching
point.
Florida State, and like, well, this Freeman
but
ought
Steve,
to be something.
Every year, the top 10 guys in the draft, the top 10 overall picks, three of them you never hear about 5 years later. They don't make it. And you wonder why. That guy had a lot of talent. Gaines Adams, the late, great Gaines Adams.
Well, I don't know about great.
Steve, number four pick or number six pick? I can't remember.
Maybe. Top ten.
Four. Top ten. Four. He had no moves, Lee. He didn't have any moves. He had an outside rush.
Eden Beckles was outraged.
Yeah, you never heard from him again. It happened.
No. We've heard from Beckles again. We haven't heard from Gaines Adams again.
On that note. We got to run over to another hot topic, Ira. And it's just so much fun being on your Bucs podcast, Ira. And
the sun is shining. It's beating down on us,
baby.
You know,
every week you ask me, not on the air, but you always ask me how we doing, how listeners, are we competing, are we taking over from Pawlowski and Bucs Uncensored. Your podcast does keep growing constantly, Ira. You know, if it wasn't happening like that, we wouldn't be doing it.
And it's a clean podcast. Let's add that.
All right, clean, Ira.
I mean, there's a shot at Pawlowski.
It's clean, baby.
Commish.
We're not Sofia Vergara last night on the Golden Globes. People are still talking about her stupid remark.
People are nervous now that you're watching the Golden Globes.
Now DeKemper wants to know what Sofia Vergara wore and what she said in that order.
I don't care what she wore, but it's in well.
I'm not even going to repeat it.
I didn't know she said something stupid, but I did hear what Meryl Streep had to say.
I did too.
Us deplorables.
I did too.
All right, so Ira.
We're going to get to Meryl Streep on a future podcast.
How dare people like football? The nerve of people liking football.
But seriously, your podcast, of course, Tuesday and Thursday, it fires on JoeBucksFan.com. You go to the website. You can read it on your iPhone, download it, listen to it on the website. Or within an hour of it showing up on the website, it's up on iTunes where you can subscribe and get an alert to your phone. Or it's also now on Podbean as well as Podbay. And you've already got subscribers on Podbean. There's no excuse for not listening to the podcast. Let's put it that way.
you know, it's going to make your day. Steve, there's a bird right over your shoulder there. Be careful. It might be pecking your neck over there, especially if it read you a couple of your latest posts on Joe Bucks Fan. But
how are you making my day here?
You guys are doing a good job of promoting the podcast, Lee. You know, promoting my columns. I got no complaints in that regard. And once again, I tell the commish, the battle has been joined. I'm coming after you. You've got a lead, but don't turn around, commish. I'm gaining on you. Don't turn around.
Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely, you're a competitive guy. That's why we love you. All right, now your podcast, of course, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. And Ira, we're going to turn our sights to really an interesting issue, one that's never going to go away. And it's, Lee and I always love those types of issues. Last week, the Buccaneers signed competition for Roberto Aguayo. They didn't waste any time. The immortal John Lunsford, okay, the pride of Liberty. The man was with San Francisco last year as an undrafted free agent. He was cut after the preseason. And he's in Tampa. And this guy is known for a big, giant leg, 60-yarders in college, a lot of 50-plus yarders, but a lot of inconsistency. And here he is. Now, of course, this guy is coming in. Nobody's whispering in his ear, Iris, saying, hey, you know what? You don't really have a shot here, buddy. You're just sort of window dressing. No, he's coming in to win a job, and this guy is going to be in there on April 17th when they report, ready to win that job. Well, what do you make of this?
Guys, it tells you the gloves are off and the sensitivity police have gone home. They're not worried about pissing off Roberto Aguayo, nor should they be, Lee. Mm-hmm. If he can't handle a little competition, you know what? He's not the guy for the job. He's not. Now, Lunsford, you know, Steve, if he's not impressive in OTAs or whatever, he doesn't make it to training camp, there's going to be another guy standing in Aguayo's way.
You got that right.
The point is, Aguayo, if you don't show up and perform, you're going to lose your job. And I'll tell you why. Because the stakes are too high. When you're 9-7, you're ready to make the next jump. The next jump is a playoff. You can't afford games where a kicker costs you points. I'm not saying that happened directly this year. Although, Steve, you could argue a game or two that Aguayo contributed significantly to a Bucks loss.
Rams,
there you go. But what I am
saying is
Aguayo's draft position will no longer be a factor.
I have two interesting elements here about one about Aguayo, one about Lunsford. Before I get to that, are those Snoopy socks you're wearing, Ira?
I believe they are Snoopy socks.
He's got Snoopy socks on. You're sitting there sunning yourself, and I noticed your Snoopy socks.
Well, it's still the Christmas season. You know, I got to salute the season. Now back to Aguayo, young man.
Here's an interesting point about Aguayo. And it was written in the MMQB.com by Taylor Swift listening beer-guzzling Peter King.
You're still referencing Peter King?
Yeah, but it was an interesting point he made. Very interesting point he made. He said this was a brilliant move by Cutter to win over the locker room. And you know how plugged in he is. He's not as plugged in as you
mean
with
bringing
the Bucks.
In competition.
Yes. Now, he's not as plugged in with the Bucks as you are, but he's plugged in with the NFL. Could was there, you think, murmurs under the surface that, you know, obviously teammates aren't going to call out Aguayo on purpose. They're not going to be public about it. But another element here about Aguayo. Do you think that there was unrest in the locker room because the players knew that Aguayo cost them one game possibly and could have cost them more? And an interesting point Martin Fenley made, this is a beautiful point. He was being sarcastic, of course, but you don't have to be sarcastic. The Carolina game. When we were at Abe's place.
Monday Night Football.
Yes. Remember there was a prayer circle? On the fourth game of the year, there was a prayer circle hoping that he would put one between the uprights?
That tells you all you need to know.
Do you think there was murmuring or whispers in the locker room like, this guy's going to cost us a playoff? Steve, and he may very well have cost him a playoff.
Steve, I hate to agree with Peter King on anything. I mean anything. Because now he's on the Dawkins bandwagon. And that gets me off his bandwagon.
I don't blame you. However, the war on Lynch.
Steve, Lee, to your point, look, the NFL is supposed to be a meritocracy. I can't spell it, but I can say it.
Another vocabulary.
And, Steve, what that means is if some guy's better than you, that guy plays. That guy plays. And Lee's right. You got 52 other guys to worry about, and they're all looking at you. And I think Cutter said it on his day after press conference. We're going with the best guys. We're going with the best guys. No exceptions. You don't make an exception for kicker.
You can't.
You don't make an exception for safety. You don't do it. And you don't make an exception for quarterback.
And the irony is you can't say kicker's not important when you just spent a second-round pick on the position. We're talking about the position.
And you know what? At this point, guys, and this is the new wrinkle I'm going to bring to this, because we've been talking about Aguayo, but guys, tell me if I'm wrong. At this point, Jason Light has to say, you're right, Dirk. You're right. You're absolutely right.
He hired Cutter for a reason. You know, Cutter.
And Light's made enough good moves that, you know,
he's got some mulligan.
A mistake with Aguayo's not going to be fatal.
He gets a mulligan.
Look, not going to be fatal.
Light, I'll say this. I said this to some guy I was talking to in the supermarket the other day.
What aisle were you in?
Dairy. Actually, it was the dairy aisle.
Dairy, all right.
Light doesn't want to lose games. And Aguayo is a guy who's going to lose you games.
Light needs a contract extension, correctly?
Yes. But we are pretty sure he got signed a four-year deal to match Lovie when he came in here, because Lovie had 4 years guaranteed. And that would be pretty typical. So, you know, Light's – but even forget about the contract. He's here to win games. Well, he's not going to stand on ceremony on a second-round pick if the guy's literally costing him games.
And how many times has Light said, if you make a mistake, cut your losses and move on?
Screw up and move on. That can't not apply to kicker. But great point. I think interesting about sending a message to the locker room, but also just driven by reality.
Here's a Lunsford item. And an NFL scout texted me this over the weekend. If you look at Lunsford's field goal percentage in college, woeful comes to mind.
Wow.
And you're wondering, like, why would you even waste time signing this guy? Well, I was told by an NFL scout, don't look at the percentages unless you've watched the film. This scout told me that Lunsford may have had the worst offensive line on a field goal kicking team of any in college football. They say the number of blocks this guy had because of terrible blocking was astounding.
Interesting.
So
you know what the irony is, guys, in this whole conversation? And I'm not going to dwell on
it. He's flaunting his Snoopy socks up here again.
Who else but the Kempers looking at my socks, Steve? Come on now.
He's the 3 foot in front of my face.
We're at Hooters. He's looking at your socks.
Well, there's nothing else to look at right now.
That's a serious issue, Steve. It could take up a whole podcast. But here's the irony. Guess we're not having this conversation if way, way, way back, former administrations, former GM, former coach, hadn't made a dumb decision, a really dumb decision.
Yep.
Matt Bryant, old man. Ooh. Matt Bryant, is a hell of a kicker. And he's still a hell of a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucs wouldn't have been having all these conversations. And they have an extra second-round pick. And there you go. Because Matt Bryant's getting the job done.
Yeah, it's messy and, you know, just classic Bucs history right there.
They bungled it. They bungled that.
On a final note on Cutter, Lunsford, Ira. I think Cutter, having gone 9-7 and the way he commands this team, it's his call at this point. I cannot imagine Jason Light being foolish enough to tell Dirk, sorry, you have to play Aguayo. Never going to. It's Cutter's call at this point.
The ownership would not back up Light on that.
No, they want to make kicks too. You know, the schnapps tastes better when the ball goes through the upright.
You think that's why Ed Glazer was animated with Light?
Oh, boy, did that little tweet. I've learned all about Twitter now, gentlemen. All about Twitter.
All right. Well, you know what? We've had some other things to talk about, but we're gonna save them.
Times,
we're gonna save them to next podcast. Of course, Thursday's podcast this week on JoeBucksFan.com. We'll be hitting every day, every time on the podcast on various angles on the Hall of Fame. If you enjoyed today's podcast, and so many of you do, share it on Twitter, put it on your Facebook page, tag Ira at iKaufman76.
Tell Kamish about it.
Make him happy. You know, you could even tag Kamish at Kamish Online, say, hey, you're going down, big fella. Whatever you want to do. Lee, you had a parting shot here.
You mentioned Twitter, and we discussed Hall of Fame as well. This combines the two. When you mentioned Tampa 3 about Lynch, Brooks, Sapp, Twitter is nothing if not overreaction. And some guy was outraged at you. Outraged at you that you were omitting Leroy Selman. And I politely said,
it's not part of the unit.
I politely said that Leroy Selman never played with Sapp, Lynch, and Brooks.
Thank you, Lee.
It's a tough world out there, Ira. And but it's made better with you in it. And we'll see you next time.
Next podcast, Steve, I'm wearing different socks.